You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
The words of wisdom this morning are from Galatians, the first chapter, verses 11 through 24. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that the gospel I preached isn't human in origin. I didn't receive it or learn it from a human. It came through a revelation from Jesus Christ. You heard about my previous life in Judaism, how severely I harassed God's church and tried to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my peers because I was much more militant about the traditions of my ancestors. But God had set me apart from the birth and called me through his grace. He was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might preach about him to the Gentiles. I didn't immediately consult with any human being. I didn't go up to Jerusalem to see the men who were apostles before me either. But I went away into Arabia and I returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Caiaphas and stayed with him 15 days. But I didn't see any other of the apostles except James, the brother of the Lord. Before God, I am not lying about the things that I am writing to you. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, but I wasn't known personally to the Christian churches in Judea. They only heard a report about me. The man who used to harass us now preaches the faith that once he tried to destroy. So they were glorifying God because of me. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. So I have to have a true confessional moment here. Don't feel sorry for me for driving down every Sunday. I did decide that it might be a good idea to get a place to spend some time in this area, though I will tell you that the heat is enough to drive me back. But it seemed to work out better in many ways, and so I'm actually in Scottsdale. So it's a 20-minute ride that way, and it's not so bad. But I will be going up and back to see my husband and my old dog, as I was describing to some friends. One or the other is, you know, I love them both. And so I will be here until through the first week of August, and I have a plan. So tell your friends, fill the seats. This isn't bad, though. This is actually better than I thought. Because it's hard. Summers are hard, and especially summers in this area are really hard. So thank you for being here. And let's think about something. I'm starting a series. Yes, you're going to have a series. It just was so much better and easier. And I'm calling it How to Live God's Way in an Ungodlike World. And then the parentheses say, or doing God's stuff is easier than you think. We're living in some pretty intense times, and I know I often feel that I'm just not in sync with everybody else. Do you ever feel like that? Especially when it comes to actually walking that talk that I feel in my heart. Things are so complicated. Some days I feel overwhelmed with the constant barrage of information, the selfishness or ignorance of our leaders and decisions that they make, sorry I do, and the life events that are all too painful and difficult to maneuver. False gods abound in the world of 2019. And if you're like me, you're a person of some type of faith, and you want to truly live that faith and be right with God. How does that work in a world that's so wrong? Well, I don't even want to go near the assumption that I have all the answers, but I do have some suggestions as to how we can be more like God intends, even today. So while I'm here with you in the coming weeks, I'll toss out my thoughts and you can take it from there. Maybe something will resonate enough with you along the way, and it begins with being willing to say yes. Doing God today really starts with taking God's call and who did this? Who did this? Raise your hand. Go, girl. This was perfect. This is the perfect thing. I thought, oh my God, look, there's a phone. It was so cool. Anyway, we're going to take God's call, literally. And this means that when a moment arrives in our lives that we find ourselves asking, am I really supposed to do this? The odds are we are being called by God to do just that thing. The trick is knowing when it's truly God on the other end, and then to respond by saying yes, even if some part of that call means you will struggle. I suppose one person from our collective faith journey who did just that would be the Apostle Paul, and you heard from him just now. A portion of that reading today came from a letter that he wrote to his church in Galatia. And it retells some of his faith story as he works to keep his little church there from caving into the pressures of their time. The Galatians are hearing false gospels that they're becoming more and more tempted to buy into because it's more convenient for them to just go along with everybody else. And Paul is pretty upset about it. Does this sound familiar? Paul feels threatened as well. He senses his ministry and even his personal integrity are under attack, which is why he spends a fair amount of valuable letter space defending his own call from God. He wants the Galatians to remember that the way of Jesus will challenge them, and they shouldn't go back to what was before. So let's take a minute to remember just how Paul got to this point in his journey, and let's consider how we might relate to Paul ourselves. It's easier than you think. Based on clues found in his many letters and descriptions from the book of Acts that document his life after he died, we have a decent profile of just who Paul was and what he did, and how, in spite of pieces of his personality that could have been detrimental to his work, Paul came to be so influential in his time. Just like most of us, Paul didn't fit the profile of the type of person that God might call to serve. He was an outsider. He never saw Jesus in person or witnessed any of Jesus' work himself, but he was the only person in Scripture who claimed to see the risen Christ when he was converted on the road. He was unknown to Peter and the other leaders of the Jewish Christians until years later when he finally sought them out to get his ministry sanctioned by them. People were suspicious of him, and therefore he was hard to trust. He made a radical change in his life when he went from being really Jewish and persecuting early Christians to being a real resurrectionist, part of the new Jesus movement, and the champion of Gentile converts to it. He was pushy, opinionated, and even egotistical. He saw things as either or, and he wasn't prone to finding and working in the gray areas of his life. Paul was complicated, focused, driven, and he could really rub folks the wrong way. So did you see any of your personality traits in here? I did. Yet there was something about him that hit a nerve with people, and especially in this time of persecution when people were searching for hope for a better life down the road. Folks responded to Paul's message in spite of himself, and enough of them gathered to start fledgling church communities in major cities all around the Mediterranean Sea. Because for every questionable characteristic that Paul possessed, he also owned some very strong positive traits that kept his mission boat afloat, that carried him through decades of documented, devoted service in the name of God. So here are some of those characteristics. Listen for yourself. Paul was open to what God pushed him into. Once he was brought into the light, he didn't question God's motives in his ministry. He accepted the new path and then he went to work. He was a self-proclaimed leader and self-starter in the new church. He didn't seem to need or want permission from the others to get things rolling in the beginning. That's why they didn't even know who he was until years into his ministry. He was loyal to his baby churches and tenacious. He could not and would not give up on them, even when they wandered off his prescribed course and back into the multi-god belief. They were his children, needing attention and direction, and he gave it. He was a thorough teacher. His background and training as a Pharisee provided him with historical and religious material necessary to support how the old church and the new church could coexist. And he was resourceful. He gathered kindred spirits, including strong women, to help him do his work. And he also managed to raise funds to sustain him and to share with the church in Jerusalem. He was a practical problem solver. He assessed situations and dealt with them as they came up. And probably the most important positive element about Paul, he recognized the value of his past experiences. Rather than waste time apologizing for them, he used them as tools in his conversion of others. He knew that if God could love him, God could love anyone. Taking all parts of Paul into consideration, God was very wise to saddle such a complicated, competent, cooperative person with the responsibility of getting the new church out into the world. It was a big job that needed an even bigger personality. And love him or hate him, Paul filled the bill. I choose to love Paul because I see him as the primary example of an unlikely someone who served God. And that justifies my own place in this pulpit at this time and my own work as a pastor. And I want to suggest that what is really wonderful about Paul's story is that what happened to Paul could happen to anyone. We share the good characteristics that Paul has, as well as the not so good ones. Any of us could be Paul. And I think that's the beauty of living this faith life in God, even in our times. From what he has told us, Paul wasn't groomed for his role as an apostle for the new way. His conversion was a serendipitous event that just went well. He considered himself the last person on earth who should have been grabbed by God and listed by God to bring good news to non-believers. Because Paul literally trained on the job, and the fact that he was on his way to doing something horrible against other Jews when he was slammed by God on that road tells us that we truly have no idea when or how God will call any of us into service. And yet, because Paul trusted the God he already loved, because Paul listened to God's voice as it guided him through new, untested waters that would draw a completely different group of people to God, he succeeded in spreading hope to the Gentiles, who knew nothing of the old life that he brought with him. And he did it during times that were in some ways more terrible for people than our own. You could be killed for admitting you followed the way of Jesus. Paul succeeded in his work because he could speak honestly and with firsthand conviction of God's forgiveness for his checkered past. And those hearing his story would nod in understanding. Everyone does bad sometime in their lives. And we all need to know we're forgiven, right? Well, the Gentiles of Galatia, Corinth, Philippi, and many more cities signed on, and so have we thousands of years later. Paul did what he was called to do, and so can we. The bottom line is to do what God wants, to answer God's call. None of us has to be special or perfect or even terribly qualified to be a servant like Paul. We just have to be willing to give it up for God. We have to be willing to walk into the unknown, less safe places where God's message needs to be taken. And like Paul, we need to trust that God knows best what we can and should do for the cause. We have to be willing to throw out some old thinking, to disregard the negative messages that surround us in our crazy and confusing times, to allow God to speak to us, to whisper. And then, like Paul, we have to follow through with our hearts and actions, even if it's scary, even if it feels impossible, even if people think we're full of it. Because God chose someone like Paul to take on the world, and look what happened when he said yes. God even called someone like me, and God will call someone like you. What will your answer be? May God's peace be with us all. And we can all say, Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information on our faith community, or to support this outreach with a donation, be sure to visit us online at www.reachtouchteach.com.